Sunday school, but go to the book of the Acts all the way towards the end of the book to chapter number 23. Acts in chapter number 23. We'll read several verses of scripture in several different chapters till we get to our text, which will be in chapter 26. But we'll start in Acts chapter number 23. Now, for those of you that's thinking, well, I'll just come to the early service because I don't want to get a rerun in the 11 o'clock service of the message from the early service, and I don't want to get a rerun of the songs that's going to be sung, fear not, brother. We don't believe in reruns around here. The only reruns we like at Bible Missionary is Andy Griffith Black and White episodes. Say amen right there. Yes, sir, and we're all about them, but we got a whole different message for 11 o'clock hour and whole different songs for the choir at 11 o'clock hour. So you stick around after breakfast and stay with us. There'll be no night service tonight. So really what we're kind of doing early this morning is we're having our night service early. Y'all want to go ahead and let's just vote as a church that we'll start having our Sunday night services at 7:30 on Sunday morning all the time. Is everybody good? Some of y'all's like, yeah, and some of the rest of y'all's like, I know you bumped your head somewhere along the way, preacher. Yeah, I like 6 o'clock p.m. myself. Don't worry, we ain't doing that. Amen. All right. This morning, for a few minutes, I'd like to preach to your heart on this subject in this early morning hour on reasons why the resurrection is real. Reasons why the resurrection is real. I don't think that the resurrection could be defended by any more brilliant mind or Bible scholar or linguist or anything else than the man who's going to defend it in the chapters that we'll look at. And his name is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, learned and trained at the feet of the renowned Jewish scholar of that day, Gamaliel. And before he was saved, he was a Pharisee that could quote the first 5 books of the Old Testament from memory. Genesis to Deuteronomy. A man who, after he got saved, used all of that Bible understanding to then show the Jewish people and the Gentiles, show them Jesus in those Old Testament scriptures. And as we get towards the end of Paul's ministry, we find that from chapters 22 all the way to the end of the book, we find that he is incarcerated for several years here. And the whole reason why he's incarcerated and thrown in jail is because he believes in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul is a criminal, chalk me up with him this morning, baby. If Paul is a crazy man, put me in the same straitjacket with him. I believe the same thing. I believe Jesus didn't just die, but I believe he physically, body, soul, and spirit got up on the third day and walked out of the tomb, not a ghost, but walked out of the tomb in a glorified body, never to die again. I believe in the resurrection. And can I say, I don't just believe it this morning, Brother John, with my head, but I'm glad as an 18-year-old boy, I believed it with my heart. And I believe that what Jesus did on the cross, I feel pretty good this morning, what Jesus did on the cross for my sin, and that he sealed it by rising from the dead 3 days later, I didn't just believe it on that day as an 18-year-old boy because mama had said it, or daddy had said it, or the preacher had said it, but I believed in my heart that that was all done for my justification, was done because I was not good enough to do any of that on my own, and I put my trust in that to get me to heaven and not in myself. There are reasons why the resurrection is real. This is why Paul is being incarcerated. Watch what the Bible said in Acts chapter 23, verse 6. Watch how many times Paul brings up the resurrection in these chapters we're going to look at. Acts 23, verse number 6. If you found your place, say amen. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Come to chapter 24 with me. chapter 24, we find that Paul is now standing before Felix. He was standing before the Jews, his own countrymen, in chapter 23. He stands now to defend the resurrection in front of Felix in chapter 24. Come all the way down to verse 14. Chapter 24, verse number 14, Paul said, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." Skip down to verse number 21. He continues on and brings up the resurrection again. Verse 21, he said, "Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." Come to chapter 25. Chapter 25, verse 13. The big shot is about to come down to Caesarea, where Paul is being locked up at. His name's Agrippa. The Bible said in chapter 25, verse 13, "After certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. When they'd been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, 'There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.'" Now watch what they bring the accusation before him as. Verse number 19. Verse 19 said, "But they had certain questions against him of their own superstition," watch it, "and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive." Amen. And now we come to chapter 26, and Paul is standing before Agrippa. Paul is now getting his chance to speak and to defend the resurrection to a big shot. And I want you to notice what Paul says in chapter 26, verse number 6. Chapter 26, verse number 6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" He's defending the resurrection. Come down to verse number 22. Watch what he says. I'm fixing to get to the message. I'm just laying some groundwork. Watch what he says in verse 22. He's still talking. He says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." People riding up and down the road this morning probably see this crowd gathered here at 7:30 and say, "Them people crazy. What in the world would get y'all nuts up on Sunday morning? Some of y'all, it's your only day off, and show up in your Sunday clothes at a church and sing and worship. Y'all crazy this morning." Watch what Paul says, verse number 25. "But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." At the end of Paul's defense of the resurrection, Brother Joe, we find that the Holy Ghost has so taken the truth that Paul has preached and driven it down into this king's heart, that this king sitting on the throne with a prisoner in rags and chains in front of him that the king says, I'm about this close from taking my crown off, taking my robe of royalty off, and getting in chains myself and standing next to you. You have made such a compelling argument that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real that I'm about this close from giving up all this stuff of the kingdom and getting in prison with you. Y'all, the resurrection argument that Paul put forth must be highly, highly realistic. If a king, in front of all of his servants and subjects, would be this close from stepping off the throne and joining up with an old prison boy and saying, you just about made me want to be a Christian. Now, I want to show you some things this morning that I believe Paul gives his case of why the resurrection is real. And I'd like to put them in your heart this morning. And I hope by the time we say amen and go eat breakfast here in about 24 minutes, I hope you can say, I believe the resurrection's real too. And I don't just believe it's real because the preacher said so. And I don't just believe it's real because mom and daddy said so. But I believe it's real because the Holy Ghost put it in my heart, showed it to me. And I believe that I'm trusting in that to take me to heaven this morning. You might sit here this morning and say, oh, I think Jesus got up from the grave. You realize you can believe Jesus got up from the grave and still die and go to hell? Yeah, you can know it with your mind without believing it in your heart. I mean, we live in the South. Why in the world do people go to church on Easter Sunday morning all over the country? Because in the South, everybody believed that there was a resurrection, but a lot of them people don't believe that He did it for them, and they're trusting in that for their salvation this morning. So what are the reasons why the resurrection is real? This must have been an amazing case for Agrippa to say, Brother Randy, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian about this resurrection. Three reasons why the resurrection is real. Number one, the resurrection is real because of the declaration of the Scriptures. The declaration of the Scriptures. You know why the resurrection's real this morning, Brother Jack? Because the Scriptures declare them to be real, and the Scriptures are true this morning. Here we find Paul makes this mention over and over that the only thing he's preaching is what was already written down about the resurrection. Did you notice that? Look back in verse 22. Paul said in verse 22 that he continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead. Y'all listen to me. This idea of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's littered, Brother Kevin Stewart, all through the Old Testament. I'm telling you, from Genesis to Malachi, the thought that there is a resurrection of the dead coming, it's all through the Old Testament. It's through the Old Testament in physical form, and it's through the Old Testament in pictorial form. It's in the Old Testament in types and shadows, but it's in the Old Testament in literal people getting up from the grave. I think the first time, Brother Hunter, that we find a picture of the resurrection, we find it in Genesis chapter number 2. Because in Genesis chapter 2, we find that God puts Adam to sleep. Adam is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why the Bible even calls Jesus, hang with me now, why the Bible even calls Jesus this morning the last Adam. And the Bible said God put him to sleep. And sleep in the Bible is a picture of death. And Adam lays down to sleep, but he don't stay asleep. While he's asleep, God opens his while my Savior was asleeping on the cross, while He was dead on the cross, they opened up His side. And you know what God did? God took a rib out and made Adam a wife. And when He woke Adam up, He presented a chaste virgin. He presented a bride without spot and without blemish. You say, what's that a picture of? That's a picture of Jesus dying for the the church, the church being birthed out of his side. And when he rose from the grave, but God birthed the bride for his son this morning. We find that the resurrection is pictured in Isaac and Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. Genesis chapter 22, listen to me now, took him up on the mountain, Genesis 22. And when he took him up there, the Bible said this in Hebrews, that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham already believed he was dead. Abraham already believed, I'm going to kill this boy. But God can raise him from the dead. What's that a picture of? It was a picture of God sending his son up to the top of Mount Calvary, and God smiting his own son for our sins, but God raising him from the dead. Why, we find it's also pictured in Joseph. I'm talking about the scriptures declare it this morning. It's pictured in Joseph. Old Jacob thinks Joseph died. Jacob says, an evil beast, Brother Keith, has devoured him, and Joseph is dead. But y'all, Joseph weren't dead. Some years later, Daddy found out Joseph was still alive. He said, my son is alive. Hey, listen to me. Do y'all notice how many times in the Old Testament these resurrection pictures, it's always, this is so good I can't even hardly say it. It's always a son getting up. The Bible said Adam in Luke 3:38 was the son of God. We find that Isaac was the son of Abraham. We find that Joseph was the son of Jacob this morning, or Isaac this morning. Hey, it goes farther than that. We find Elijah walks into a little old town called Zarephath, and a woman's son dies, but then he gets resurrected back to life. We find Elisha walks into a place named Shunem, and a woman's son dies, and he raises him back to life. Over and over, there's sons that die, but sons that get up. You say, what's that? It's pointing towards God's son. It's pointing towards somebody. It's going to die, but they're going to rise again. I say the scriptures declare it this morning. David said in Psalm chapter 16 and verse number 10, David said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And Peter on the day of Pentecost yanked that scripture out of Psalm 16, throwed it on Jesus Christ, and said, David said, God wouldn't leave his soul in hell, nor suffer his holy one to see corruption. It's pictured in a man named Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the resurrection's real because the scripture declares it over and over and over. And you listen to me and hear me well. Every one of those examples I just gave you, and there's more, but every one of those examples I gave you this morning, mark this down. They all needed help getting up. Adam needed help coming back awake. We find the widow Zarephath's son had to have help coming awake. Elisha, that dead boy, had to have help getting up. Jonah had to have help getting up. But the one I'm preaching about this morning, Jesus said this. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. He said, I lay it down and I have power to take it up again. I'm telling you, Adam had to have help getting up. And Isaac had to have help getting up. And Joseph had to have help getting up. And the widow of Zarephath's son had to have help getting up. And Jonah had to have help getting up. But when Jesus got ready to get up from the grave, he called his spirit back down from the glory world, pulled his soul up from Abraham's bosom, and got his own body up, rolled the stone away, and walked out under his own power. He's alive this morning. The resurrection's real. Y'all listen to me, Brother Charlie. I'm not sitting here where Paul was at. I don't just have prophetical scripture to prove the resurrection is real. I have scripture now, not just prophecy, but scripture that tells me about the accounts that it's real.
I got Matthew, and Matthew writes about it being real. And I got Mark, and Mark writes about it being real. And I got Luke, and Luke writes about it being real. And I got John, and John writes about it being real. Now I'm telling you, this book from Genesis to Revelation proves over and over and over. I'm telling you, the scripture emphatically, unapologetically, unashamedly declares that Jesus died, was buried, and He rose again and is alive this morning. You say, why is the resurrection real? According to Paul, the first reason is because of the declaration of the scriptures. Let me say, secondly, not only is the resurrection real because of the declaration of the scriptures, but secondly, it's real because of the description of the spectators. The description of the spectators. Here we find Paul says he was an eyewitness of the resurrection. Watch what your Bible said in verse 13 of chapter 26. Chapter 26 of Acts, verse 13. Watch what he said. He's an eyewitness. He said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, he's an eyewitness, y'all, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and... I'm going to make you an eyewitness account, Paul, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things into which I will appear unto thee. Y'all listen to me this morning. An educated man like Saul, an educated man, Brother Parks, like Saul, who was murdering and killing Christians like a religious zealot, doesn't just all of a sudden one day go from doing that to going this way unless he saw something. Y'all, he ain't tripping on acid. He ain't fired up the crack pipe. Can I just pause right here and just make a disclaimer? Because the younger crowd don't understand what I'm saying, and somebody said something to me about this. There are times I use old school euphemisms in my preaching. And I will say things like this, put that in your pipe and smoke it. How many of y'all have heard me say that? Raise your hand. Most of you have. Y'all, when I'm saying that, I ain't meaning no crack pipe. I'm talking about them old school pipes. My daddy used to smoke a pipe. Talking about them old school pipes that you actually put tobacco in and lit it and it smelled good. I ain't talking about doing drugs. So if y'all thinking I'm talking about doing drugs, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about old school stuff. Some of y'all didn't get your mind out the gutter. Go back old school. Praise God. Put that in your tobacco pipe and smoke it. Amen. In your R.J. Reynolds pipe, all right? Here we find Paul has a total about face. How's that possible? Unless he was an absolute spectator of the resurrection. Y'all, want you to hear me. There is enough eyewitness evidence that Jesus Christ came alive after his death. There is more, listen to me, there's more eyewitness factual evidence that Jesus Christ lived after the resurrection than there is that John Wilkes Booth shot Abraham Lincoln in the back of the head in the Ford Theater. You know your Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was seen of above 500 brethren. 500 people all testifying to the same thing. Y'all, that'll stand up in any courtroom, anywhere in the world. Do you realize they put people away in prison and sentenced them to death for a lot less than 500 eyewitnesses? One or two eyewitnesses has done in some people. Y'all listen to me. It's unequivocal, undeniable fact that the resurrection of Jesus is true just because the 12 apostles, none of them backed up from their belief, Brother James, that he rose from the dead. Do you realize if the resurrection wasn't true, it would have fallen apart under torture? Listen, y'all. Judas died, so the other 11, and then if you throw Paul in, 12. The other 12 apostles that all were martyred. John wasn't martyred. The rest of them was. But if you throw in them 12 apostles right there, y'all listen to me. They all died separately and in separate places, some of them on separate continents. And they all maintained to their dying breath that Jesus rose from the grave. Now, y'all listen to me. It is highly improbable, not just improbable, it's impossible that 12 guys could be so psychotic that they would all say, "Hey, I got a good idea." What's your idea? Here it is. You ready? Let's all lie together. Let's steal the body. Go hide it somewhere, Brother Seth. And then let's all lie together and say he rose from the grave. And one looks at the other and says, "Well, what's in it for us? Fame? Fortune? Riches? Gold? Houses?" No. Here's what's in it for us. We're all going to be mercilessly hunted down and tortured to death. No, that's a stupid idea. That's a dumb plan if it's a lie. You know how all the apostles were murdered? This is how the apostles died. Peter, Andrew, Jude, there you go, buddy. Jude and Simon Zelotes, they were all crucified in various different places and manners. Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't feel like he was worthy to be crucified like the Lord. Andrew did the same thing. He died in Greece and he was crucified on a cross like an X because he didn't feel worthy to die like the Lord. Jude died in Persia, crucified. Then we find that Matthew died in Africa, in Ethiopia. He was speared to death for preaching the resurrection of Jesus, and then beheaded. Bartholomew was whipped to death, filleted alive with whips till he died in Armenia. Thomas the Doubter was stabbed to death by a spear and died in India. Philip was impaled by hooks and hung up on these flesh hooks until he finally died. James was beheaded by Herod, Acts chapter 12 in Jerusalem. Matthias, the replacement for Judas, he was stoned to death and then beheaded. James the Less was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, and then they beat him to death, and then Paul was beheaded in Rome. Y'all, that's impossible that one of these eyewitnesses somewhere along the line wouldn't have stopped Brother Peanut and said, "Oh, we lied about the whole thing. It's not true." No, sir. You know why I know the resurrection's real? Because there's so much eyewitness evidence that people told the same story to their dying breath. Even when they were separated, the resurrection is real this morning. Why? Because the declaration of the Scriptures. Because of the description of the spectators. Lastly, I'm done. I got 7 minutes and we're done. You say, how do you know the resurrection's real? The same way Paul did, lastly, because of the difference in our souls. Because there's been a difference, Brother Jimmy, in our souls this morning. What's the difference in Paul? Look at chapter 26, verse 1. Chapter 26, verse 1. You know what Paul said about himself in his own writings about himself? This is what he said, Brother Donald. He said that at one time when he was lost and he was trying to kill Christians, this is what he said. He said, "I was exceedingly fierce against them." In other words, it meant he was angry all the time. He was a murderer. And all the time he had one thing on his mind, killing people. He wasn't joyful, Brother Mark. He wasn't happy. He lived his life in a rage, in a fury all the time. And people were scared of him. But now watch this guy. He's locked up. He's in prison rags. He's in shackles and chains. And he's about to go to his death. And watch the difference in his soul. Don't tell me the resurrection ain't real. Chapter 26, verse 1. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." One of my favorite texts of the Bible, verse 2. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day
before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Now, y'all, how in the world is this possible? How in the world is it a fella was just mad all the time, exceedingly fierce, but he's got a house, he's got horses, he's got lands, he's got prestige, he's got prosperity, he's got money, he's got everything a heart could wish, but he ain't happy. He's all the time fierce. But now all of a sudden, he ain't got nothing. Nobody's there to go as bail. Nobody's there to speak up for him. He ain't got two nickels to rub together. I mean, brother, he's a pauper and he's on his way to the execution spot. And yet he says, I'm a happy man. I got joy in my heart. I got peace in my soul. You say, what made the difference? It's because he knows his Redeemer is alive. It's because he knows the Lord sits on the throne and he walks with him and he talks with him and he tells him that he is his own. Can I say this morning in conclusion, don't tell me the resurrection isn't real. I've seen the difference in people's lives. You can't tell me the resurrection is a fallacy. I've watched God change people's lives through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've watched people who used to live for the weekends and getting drunk, and who used to live on fornication, and who used to live with Jesus' name as a curse word in their mouth. I've watched God change their life. I've watched God replace the bottle with a Bible. I've watched God take out all the junk and put something in its place. You say, how's that possible? It can only be possible if the resurrection is real this morning. The old songwriter had it right when he said, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You say, how do you know the resurrection's real? Because I felt him this morning. Because I talked to him this morning. Because I opened his word and he spoke to my heart this morning. I'm glad he makes a difference this morning. Who else but Jesus could have made this difference? AA couldn't make that difference in you. Bible Missionary Baptist Church couldn't make that difference in you. Religion couldn't make that difference in you. It takes a risen Savior, Brother Mikey, to make a difference in our souls. Nobody else, like the Doucette sung last week, nobody could do what he's done for us. You didn't just get up one day and decide, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. No. Some living Savior made a difference in you. And he's alive this morning. And I want to say this in conclusion. Here we find Paul presents all of these relevant reasons for why the resurrection is real. I mean, brother, you can't deny the reasons I've just given to you. You can't deny the fact that the Scriptures, over the course of several thousand years, declare there would be a resurrection. And after the resurrection, the Scriptures now declare there was a resurrection. You can't deny the fact that there was eyewitnesses, many, many of them that saw him and put their whole life on the line for him. And you can't deny that Jesus has made a difference in this crowd's life. So I wonder, why are you still sitting where Agrippa sits at in chapter 26, verse 28, where he said, almost. Some of y'all sitting here this morning and you're like, almost. How come Agrippa said almost? It wasn't because he did not see the need. It wasn't even because he didn't believe what Paul was saying was true. Brother Tim, here's why Agrippa didn't give his heart and life to Jesus Christ and get saved. Because he had too many people around him watching him. He looked around and he thought to himself, Brother Zach, what will my wife think? The Bible said his wife, Bernice, she was a Jew.
Oh, she hates Jesus. She thinks Jesus was a liar and born of fornication. What would she think about me if I trust Christ? I'll have problems with my wife. What will Festus think? Festus is my buddy, and Festus is already saying, the guy I'm listening to, he's crazy. My buddy will stop hanging out with me. My buddy will stop fellowship with me. We won't be able to party no more. We won't be able to talk no more. He'll think I'm crazy. What will everybody think about me? You better quit wondering what everybody's going to think about you. One of these days, you ain't going to stand before your buddies. You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before the one that suffered, bled, and died, and rose again for your sins this morning. I'll tell you why he didn't get right. He didn't get right because the people around him. He didn't get right because he had too much pride in him. Said, how will I look? I'm telling you, you look a whole lot better hitting your knees this morning as an old dirty sinner getting saved than you'll look getting bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. I tell you that. You look a whole lot better bowing the knee now than bowing the knee under force later on and then get pitched off in hell. So y'all still believe that? We absolutely do. The Bible declares hell's a real place. He was almost because the people around him. He was almost because of the pride in him. He was almost because of the preacher in front of him. This is what he said. He looked and he said, all these people's calling him crazy. They're all mocking him. They're all laughing at him. He does seem a little unhinged. And if I believe that message, I'm going to have to become like that. Yeah. See, the reason why some of y'all won't get right, you look around and say, I'm going to end up being like that cat up there. I'm going to end up being like these crazy nuts up here in the choir with their tonsils hanging off the back wall, singing about the resurrection, raising their hand and crying. And these people sit out here shouting and all that. I'm going to be like them people. Oh, yeah. And you sit there and say, I want a cultured Christianity. I want a closet Christianity that I can be a believer and no one know it. There ain't no such thing. And this morning, Agrippa said, I'm just not willing. In spite of all the reasons, y'all, I've given you all the same reasons this morning. I wonder, do you believe? Do you believe? Esther, play something for us here softly just for a minute. Do you believe this morning? I'm not asking you, do you know it with your mind? I'm talking about, would you believe it with your heart and say, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. He's alive, and I'm going to trust that this morning for my salvation. Bowing my heart and my knee, repenting of my sins, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the best day, Brother Gary, in my life. I'll be honest with you. I'm done. I don't remember a day. I don't. I can't remember a time. Brother Jeremiah, I can't remember a time when I did not know what I'm telling y'all about this morning. As far as the gospel. Christ died for our sins, buried, and rose again. I don't remember the first time I ever heard that, Brother Noah. Some of y'all do. Some of y'all can remember the first time you heard the gospel message. I don't remember the first time I heard it. I grew up around this stuff all my life. Brother Jack's the same way. My kids are the same way. My wife's the same way. Grew up around this all my life. But listen to me. Just me knowing about it wasn't doing enough for me to take me to heaven. There had to come a day in my life where I, by faith, reached out and God appropriated that to me. It was more than just knowing it here. It was God. I'm a sinner. You did that for me because I'm lost. Because I can't get to you. And I called on him by faith and he saved this old unworthy sinner. Have you ever had that? Do you believe this morning? I'm not talking about up here. I'm talking about here. There are definite reasons why the resurrection is real. And if it's real, and it is, then you got to do something with it. You got to do something with it. Let's all stand this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're about to bless the food and go eat. But maybe while nobody's looking, just for a minute, maybe there'd be one that would say, Preacher, I'll be honest this morning. I know about the resurrection in my head, but it's never made a difference in my heart and life. I'm not saved. Preacher, will you pray for me? Would there be one just before we go in fellowship that would be honest enough to raise their hand while nobody's looking, but me and God, slip it up and slip it back down and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would there be one like that this morning? God bless you, ma'am. Would there be another? Would there be another that would join this one? Not sure I'm saved. I know about it in my head, but not in my heart. There's somebody else. Ma'am, I'll pray for you. Me praying for you won't save you. We'll give you an opportunity to come to Christ. Please don't wait and don't tarry. I'll have my wife meet you down here, take a Bible, show you how to be saved. If you need to come, you come. We're going to pray. She's going to play one verse of invitation, then we're going to go. Father, I pray you'd help this dear one and others that are in the valley of decision, dealing with, Lord, the Spirit of God, talking to them about their soul. Lord, I pray that you'd make salvation clear. It's so simple, but it costs you everything. But Lord, you did that so that we wouldn't have to do anything but just trust, believe, call on you. We don't have to do the work. You did it. We just have to, by faith, receive it. God, I pray that you'd help this one and others maybe in Jesus' name. Amen. She's